They do not slow it down.
They don't even try.
Especially in later ones. It gets bad in later seasons.
They don't even attempt it.
So, who was it that made that? Was it Peter? Not Peter Jackson. Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo did the first one.
Yeah, he did the first one.
Pacific Rim.
Are we recording?
We are now, bitch.
Hell yes. Welcome to the impromptu sci-fi cast. But that was originally supposed to be an Evangelion movie, but they couldn't get the rights. I can't remember the whole reasoning, but...
That's part of it. I heard there was... it was also fallback because they were trying to do a Halo movie.
No, that was District 9.
I think you're right. Yeah, because District 9 definitely...
I'm a dumbass. Don't fucking listen to me.
Peter Jackson was trying to make Halo, and he cast Denzel Washington, still one of the worst choices, in my opinion. Not because he's a bad actor. He's a great actor, but he's not Master Chief.
Well, and then part of that issue is, kind of like with the new Mandalorian, why do I have to see his face? If his culture demands he wears a helmet, that's fine for me. I don't have to see his face.
And
that's strictly star power. That's Stallone in Judge Dredd.
Well, I'm Stallone. How are they going to know it's me?
I don't know, because your name's all over the fucking poster.
I don't wear a mask anymore. It's time to take off my helmet.
In South Park, fucking Stallone has to have a translator. He's like, you guys are great.
Thanks, man.
And the translator's like, Stallone said you did a good job.
Anyway, I interrupted. You triggered me. Go ahead.
It's all good. So, yeah, it was supposed to be a Halo movie. Cast Denzel Washington. I still think Vin Diesel would have been a decent choice, but that's just me. And it fell through. I can't remember if that was a rights thing or a money thing, but
a little bit of everything, as far as I understand.
Let me twist the crank back further, because you were talking about it being an Evangelion movie, and then Josh moved on to District 9.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. So yes, it was supposed to be an Evangelion movie, and I think it was because the rights for Evangelion are split between three companies.
Okay.
Gainax, who made the series, Funimation, I believe, and whoever produced End of Evangelion.
I don't remember.
Because that was a separate company.
I'm going to pretend it's Bandai, because they've got their hand in everything.
Right. It was Bandai.
No. It was, who is it?
I'll look
at it
now.
It was Hasbro.
Right.
They have their hand in it.
They're going to make a new Transformers movie with Evangelion.
Don't think I wouldn't. I would be the first one in that fucking seat.
No, I gotta see
Optimus get his ass kicked.
Right, Ava's, no shit. Yeah,
Ava's a badass.
Well, Ava 1 would eat his ass.
That's still my favorite episode of the series is the Beast.
Yeah.
When anytime Ava 1 goes berserk, the scariest part of that whole fucking series is when it's fighting the angel with the whip tentacle things that cut.
Mm-hmm.
And it fucking tears off its helmet, and it just goes feral. Shinji's unconscious. He's not even capable of knowing what's happening.
Oh, no, that you got two different episodes mixed up. That's when...
Is that just the first episode?
No, in the first episode, it gets its armor. It gets stabbed through the head. Goes berserk. The one with the tentacles, it gets stabbed, but it doesn't go berserk. When Ava Unit 3 becomes infected with an angel and his classmates in it, and then they tell him to destroy it, and then they activate the dummy system.
Yes.
And the dummy system quite literally rips it into pieces.
It doesn't just... You don't see the Ava. You see its silhouette eating a thing on the ground.
Yeah.
That is scary as shit.
Yeah,
I had nightmares after the first time I saw that.
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculously awesome.
Anytime,
not gonna lie.
Even I like the fight between Ava 1 and 3 in the cartoon, but in the remake movie, it's even better. Because, how do I explain this? So, Ava 3 has Ava 1 pinned against a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And Ava 1 breaks its fucking arms. But in the remake movie, it breaks its fucking arms, and then two new arms sprout out and choke it again.
Right.
That made me fucking jump.
Yeah, because I forgot they did the rebuild, which I still haven't seen the final movie.
Has it even been released in the U.S.?
As far as I... Not in the U.S., I don't think.
God damn. And Hideki Anno was supposed to make the final rebuild movie after he made Shin Godzilla, but he never got around to it.
Yeah.
I'm always kind of curious, too. Like, you know, you talking about Evangelion and stuff like that. Like, what is the separation between the way that the Japanese perceive it? Are you watching this in subtitles, or are you watching this English translated?
I've done it both, because I love it that much.
And does it come off... Do you think it comes off with the same tone that it does for the Japanese culture or for another...
It does not. And in fact, Netflix, when they released Evangelion, they had it completely redubbed.
They redubbed it.
And they changed key words to make it less offensive. In the last two episodes, before you get to the crappy ending that is the end of, you know, the series, not the end of Evangelion. That's a movie. There's a character, Kaoru, that's his name. Kaoru shows
up. Kaoru, yeah.
And he is the last angel that they're supposed to kill. But nobody knows that. He is piloting Eva 2 while Asuka's out. And all they know is that, hey, this kid's really talented. We should hire him. So they do. But then he gets awful close to the main character, Shinji. And he even implies, like, I love you. And Shinji's like, you know what? With all the shit that's gone on, I think I love you too.
And it's not necessarily in a homosexual guy versus guy love. It's like the true love of a person's being.
Yeah.
He's like, I love you.
Mm-hmm. It's almost not parental, but like as you would say to a parent, I love you. You don't mean it romantically. You mean it in
a nature.
Yeah.
A nurturing kind of way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's very, yeah. It's a true love. I love your soul. I love who you are.
Basically.
You're an amazing person.
In the Netflix version, they're like, I really like you. We should be friends, because they didn't want it to come off as gay, because it could, very easily could. In the Japanese version, mm-hmm. it's more teetering towards homosexual. But in the Netflix version, it's like, yeah, we're just really good pals.
Right.
We hang around in a locker room naked.
Right.
That's the weird thing between like the Japanese culture and our culture, because like I've never been an anime fan per se. I mean, I have my tidbits that I enjoy, like right. Cowboy Bebop and whatnot, but
Cowboy Bebop is fucking
It's great. Amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. But I know that like, well, even Josh used to watch Dragon Ball back when we were in high school.
What do you mean used to?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he still does.
Dragon. I'm just
But I'd always heard tell that Dragon Ball that they aired here in America and the Dragon Ball that got aired in Japan
mm-hmm.
were two kind of totally different mm-hmm. things almost.
Sort of.
They seem like they're a little hornier over there.
Seem like.
Yeah, they're way hornier.
From what I've gathered from it. And that's just from an observing point.
Yeah, no, Roshi's a perv.
Dude, the original Dragon Ball is especially bad because Bulma is just there for nothing but sex appeal.
Yeah.
She flashes her panties, shows her tits. Goku feels her up a couple times as a kid.
Yep. Yep, there's even a couple scenes where he touches her privates while she's sleeping.
And he doesn't really? Know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's like, what's that? Why don't you have what I have?
Right.
And she's like, quit fucking touching me. He's like, why? He's trying to understand.
Well, and then, damn it, who's the villain? They defeat because, oh man, the pressure's on. Now I can't remember characters' names.
Which villain is it?
Emperor Pilaf.
Ah, gotcha.
And who's the pig guy that can change shapes?
Oolong.
Oolong. Oolong gets the Dragon Balls and makes the wish, and he wishes for Bulma's panties. Any wish that you could possibly have, the dragon can grant nearly any wish, and he asks for Bulma's panties, which prevents Emperor Pilaf
from making his immortality wish.
Right.
Which is funny, because Oolong is based on a character from Journey to the West, the most right. famous Chinese
Well, the Japanese whole thing book. Is based on Journey to the West.
A lot of it is, yeah. Monkey Boy.
Right.
Yeah. Dragon Ball, The Magic Begins, best movie, 10 out of 10. But Oolong That's is crap. A character in that, and he is also a pervert. Oolong was a villain at one point, too.
Yes, he worked for the Red Rim Army, I think.
Probably.
There's a lot of the original Dragon Ball I've never seen. I only know from watching videos, reading up on it. But even then, I don't claim to be some expert.
I saw the first, like, 10 episodes of the original Dragon Ball, which is basically just Goku and Krillin training competitively. And then I watched all of the King Piccolo saga, which is actually really
it's really
fucking
good.
Good.
King Piccolo is very good saga. So is I think they call him Piccolo Jr. saga.
I always forget that. I thought that was just the last couple episodes.
Well, no, because there's like 20 or 30 episodes. Once again, I'm not exact on the numbers. Uh-huh. But it follows almost strictly Piccolo Jr. Because right before Goku defeated King Piccolo, he spit out an egg, which hatched into Piccolo Jr. So Piccolo Jr. is like, Goku killed my father, I'm gonna get him back. And that's why he hates him for so long.
And I love how immediately they show that Piccolo Jr. is even less to be fucked with than his dad.
Yeah, because he immediately burned someone's house down with, like, people in it.
So they find him, some cottage finds him in the middle of the woods, brings him back, and nurses him to health. Piccolo's like, cool.
Bam!
Yeah, he's evil. He's really evil. as a child.
So welcome to the Impromptu Anime Podcast.
It's good that we flex like this every once in a while, though. I mean,
I agree. It helps keep the passions up.
With really all the gaming news that we're getting, it sometimes is tedious in the gaming world because, you know, right now, Sony's pushing their shit, flinging their PlayStation 5, and it's cool that, you know, that it's already been, well, sold out.
Right.
But it sucks at the same time that there's also some mud to sling with it, and it's just, I'm okay making this an impromptu.
At least,
we can cover the news. We can talk because it's important right now. There's big stuff going on.
Going back to Dragon Ball.
I got you. Yes, continue on.
I don't even remember where we were going with
that. No, it's fine. Doesn't matter.
So, Sony announced yesterday, PlayStation 5, $400, all digital.
$499. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
$399. Yeah. And $499.
Big distinction because that first number. You know what I mean? It's perception. You see $399. Oh, it's only $300. I mean, after tax and accessories, it's $459. But you know,
but still, $500 for a disc base, $400 for the digital version. Anybody that's already in the PlayStation ecosystem, as far as like having digital PS4 games, a $400 console is not bad.
But it's not as good as the $299 console that Microsoft is offering. But unless it can do something better.
It can. It can do 1080, 4K, or, excuse me, 4K 120.
Ah.
Where the $300 Xbox Series S does 1440, 120 frames as well. It's apples to oranges, though, really.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's worth an extra $100. See, from what they're pricing, because they were waiting for Microsoft to make their move.
Right.
It was a big standoff. It almost seems like they kept the price for their digital console, but said, let's bring the main console down $100 to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get the...
Which is possible.
I get the impression they were going to release it for $599.
There was an article... And we talked about it in a group chat, but I still never quite understood the answer because there was too much going on in that chat. The article stated that Sony had released their projections, and they had knocked their projections down by $4
million. Wow.
Because Xbox released their prices, and Xbox released all of their goodies and different ways that you can get a hold of the new Xbox. Mm-hmm. Was that true?
It was not.
Okay.
Sony came out and said that. And that $4 million, a lot of people were looking at it as $4 million. Some people were looking at it as 4 million consoles.
That's what I was thinking, is 4 million units.
But they have come back and said that that's false, that the number they've projected is still on course for launch.
Well, you said they're already sold out, so...
They're pre-orders, yeah, they're pre-orders.
They can't be too wrong.
They still have some that they're going to stick on a store shelf. I mean, there will be a day one mad rush to get them.
Mm-hmm.
There always is. Even whenever they do, you know, all the pre-orders are sold out. Certain companies still get, you know, 5 extra units to put on the shelf to sell. And sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes it's, we only got pre-order numbers. We don't have any additional units. It really depends on where your store is and how big, what kind of store you're dealing with, too.
And whether or not you're dealing with a coronavirus.
Exactly.
And that's been the big wild card.
That really is.
That's thrown everything.
That's the X factor.
Right. And I do want to say something, though, because I think I covered it last podcast, and I just want to reiterate it. I want it out there. We play Xbox more. That's what everyone's on, for the most part, except for Forrest. But he's not connected to the internet.
Not by choice.
Right. He's not connected to the internet anyway, so his opinion doesn't even matter. He's a Neanderthal caveman. He's a troglodyte. Nobody cares.
Fuck you. You don't have Bloodborne.
This is true.
Or God of War.
Like I wanted Bloodborne. If I wanted to masturbate without the payoff, I would just do that.
Fuck you, buddy.
Anyway, I quite love the fact that this has been a race. This has been competition.
This is actually more exciting than the last, at least the last console war.
Agreed. And I just, that's basically the point I want to make. I love the competition. I hate it when one company dominates because there's no innovation. Things stagnate, and then you get...
And you don't get your six axis controller.
And then you get EA in charge of shit.
Fucking EA. You that, trigger that should, word, triggered.
That should be our new fucking logo or like our new catchphrase. Hey, listen to our podcast. Fucking EA. Am I right? And then we just sign off.
Is it too late to change our name to EA Discretion Advised?
EA Haters.
So
EA Haters Anonymous.
Welcome to the podcast. And yes, once again, we're going to discuss how much we hate EA. Here we go.
Yes, they made Dead Space and then Mass Effect 2. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
Which are games I love, so now I'm conflicted. Oh, no. Sorry.
Launch November 12th. Pre-orders happened yesterday on the 16th.
I hate your birthday, Josh.
But...
You're welcome.
They originally were not supposed to open until today on the 17th. Sony announced that pre-orders would begin today.
I see.
Which, if you want to roll back time, has caused some stink because people, including myself, had watched the head of the CEO of PlayStation talk to Jeff Keighley when Jeff Keighley was showing off the DualSense controller. Mm-hmm. And he told Jeff Keighley, because Jeff Keighley said, when can we see pre-orders begin? He said, we will give you plenty of notice before pre-orders begin. The people will know before pre-orders begin. They never announced pre-orders except for a Twitter post, and by then, most of them were already sold out.
That's still more than Atari did.
I didn't know what to do on that one.
I don't think there is anything.
Five
to
more days, Xbox throws up their pre-orders.
Fuck.
Wow, dude, that shit's gonna be gone.
I hope not. Here is my idea on that. I think Microsoft wanted to make sure that they've got enough consoles sitting in the bank. They are filling warehouses right now.
Yes.
Honestly think that the reason why they had plans of announcing price and everything this week. Originally, today or yesterday actually, was the original date Microsoft was going to announce Xbox Series S, Xbox Series X pricing.
So what changed their mind?
The leak. The leak happened a week early.
I would also say the air quotations, the leak.
Correct.
The leak.
Do you know,
someone leaked the info.
Do you know how bad, we could start a fucking tinfoil hat part of this?
I'll go get the I have tinfoil right there.
We're good.
That's aluminum foil. It's different.
All right.
It doesn't block out the aliens, just the government.
Close enough.
All right, it works. It works.
It blocks out the illegals.
But there is so much fucking speculation going on right now. We were doing it just in our chat. You know, Nathan made the comment earlier about, you know, Sony touting that they sold out and not having a sold number.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What looks better? Sold out of something or I sold 4 million of something?
What I love is even through this coronavirus bullshit, their marketing teams are just fucking knocking it out of the park, in my opinion. Leaks are good for business. Leaks keep people interested. They're updates without having to update people.
But then it also begs the question of, when is a leak really a leak? When is a leak you know what I mean?
That's what I mean, though. That's why leaks are more or less not recommended, but they're allowed.
Right.
Because you ever notice how these leaks, nobody ever comes crashing down on the person who leaked it?
Yeah, no shit. It, that's the other part, too, is we had this Xbox controller out in the wild that had all this Xbox Series S, X debauchery on it. No one was like, well, that guy's facing charges for breaking into a warehouse exactly. And stealing and yada, 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 yada.
Like, you don't really have to look very hard to notice cracks in stories, but I think that may be what they want.
And that controller being in the wild makes me think that Xbox has been... It's coming. I mean, we've seen the console. There was teardowns of the console. They had a magnetic diorama of the Series X.
Really?
Back in, March? April? Yeah, and they were passing it around to all these different vendors and these streamers, and they were able to tear it apart and see, mm-hmm. This is where the CPU and the GPU and, you know,
here's the cooling fan. Wow, look at this cooling fan. It's massive, you know, and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So it is a refrigerator.
Yeah, it's a mini fridge.
Correct.
But, okay, slightly off topic, but do you guys remember the game for the Wii, Mickey, Epic Mickey or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So, that game went a really dark direction with Disney. which is not normally a Disney thing. And because of that, the guy who was in charge of it leaked the art online, and he leaked the extremely dark art, and he leaked the slightly less dark art concept stuff. And, you know, it was a quote-unquote leak, but he wanted to gauge the fans' reaction to it. And they responded positively somewhere in the middle. So he's like, that's the direction we're going.
Mm-hmm.
That is a smart
business move. Okay, okay. He was trying to gauge public's opinion.
Yes.
By having an air quotations leak.
What was the name of that game? Epic Mickey was the Super Nintendo game.
What?
Yeah, there was a Super Nintendo game called Epic Mickey.
That's badass.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
In fact, you start out, the beginning of it is Steamboat Willie. I know this because I had a kid sister that loved Mickey Mouse.
That would make a lot of sense.
That was the world's first cartoon, wasn't it? Steamboat Mickey? Or was it Disney's first cartoon?
It was Disney's. Steamboat Willie.
The very first cartoon ever was a dinosaur coming out of a lake and then going back in the lake. Okay.
You're right, it was Epic Mickey. Okay. So I'm trying to think of what game I'm thinking of for the Super Nintendo.
Probably DuckTales.
You notice the next words out of his mouth were not, I was wrong. I'm just fucking with you.
Look, if Sony can't say it, why should...
right.
Hey, I admit when somebody's right.
That's half the
battle.
And
when you're right, you're right. You're right.
And right now, you're right. And you, you're always right. I'm a Mog.
Half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
Mickey Mania is the Super Nintendo game.
It's funny that now that you say that, now I remember the game.
But...
it was better than Judge Dredd anyway.
Even during PlayStation 5 event, we still figure out a way to get back to Judge Dredd.
I curse your soul.
So, PlayStation 5 event happens. Pre-orders happen. People are pissed over pre-orders. My buddy Steve tried to get one. As soon as they announced it,
denied.
Best Buy was getting it.
There's still Best Buys? I thought they went the route of Blockbuster.
No.
As in there are none.
Was in his cart. Failure, failure, failure. We're sold out.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll bet he wasn't happy about that. I don't know your buddy, but I know everything you've told me about him, and he likes to be on top.
No, he was not happy, and I don't blame him either. You know, where's the fault lie in that? Is it Sony's fault, or is it Best Buy's?
I want to take this on a different direction. So, pretty much everything you do online is monitored and, in essence, quantifiable, right?
Break out the tinfoil hats, Mark.
Just hear me out. So they collect your data, and then they sell your data. And then these other companies purchase that data, and they say, oh, this is what this guy likes. We will throw our ads his direction because we believe that'll make his bias stuff, right?
I thought that was just Facebook.
That's pretty much anywhere you go.
I'm just bullshitting.
Oh, okay. So my point is, PlayStation should know that Steve buys PlayStation. He should have been up on a list where they were like, these are our priority customers because this guy, I don't care if we sell a bag of shit and throw a PlayStation logo on it, this motherfucker will buy it. He should be alerted that, he should get first bid, at least. I'm just talking about customer service.
I think I agree with you there, to a point.
Right, I'm just saying, they know what the fuck you do, they know what you play, they know what you purchase. If you're on the PlayStation Network, they know when you're playing, they know when you're online.
I will put it this way, though. With the coronavirus, and with only a limited number of consoles being made, that list is still going to be long as hell. They may have sold out before they got to him.
You know what the weird thing, too, is with the coronavirus, on top of all that...
I'll come back to that.
Right now, you figure it's the time people... Because it's... Like, you could get on eBay there for a while, and, like, Switches were going for, like, $450.
Mm-hmm.
Xboxes that were normally $299 are, like, almost $399. There got to a point there where people were online hawking consoles and stuff like that for, you know, a good $100 more than what they were worth.
Scalping, basically.
Basically. Mm-hmm. And new consoles have always been scalper's delight. Always
forever.
Fucking been
forever.
That.
I remember a couple podcasts ago, we were just talking about the phone thing, where you could only buy, what was it, an iPhone or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could only buy one iPhone, yep. And the person who was first in line got a little pissed about that, ended up selling up their spot or something along those lines.
Some lady had taken out a small loan, and she had like $12,000, and she's like, oh, I'm going to buy as many as they'll give me. And then she bought the first guy in line.
$600, so he got the fucking accessories for his brand new iPhone.
Exactly. So, just, lady, do your research before you decide you're going to take out a $12,000 loan. Once again, those numbers aren't accurate, and I don't know if it was a loan. I just know she showed a wad of cash to the reporter. Like, a giant wad. Like, more money than I'll ever have in my hand.
It's like the mask. It's like, are you on the list? No, but my friends are. You may know them. Benjamin, Grant, and Jackson. Just flashes fucking hundreds at the guy.
The mask was terrible, but I love it.
Fuck off. That movie's a 10 out of 10.
So,
best movie. 10 out of 10.
Not only did they debauch that, after they showed Final Fantasy 16.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Does it look any good?
Yes.
Are there convertibles in this one?
No. It looks like they're taking more of a node or more of a nod back to older Final Fantasy games. It looks more high fantasy. Are there 48-hour boss
fights?
More high fantasy.
No, Nick Nolte's not in it.
Than future architecture. It looks more like the days of old instead of the days of new.
That's what I see.
Okay. Days of yore.
I love Final Fantasy VI, what I played of it, and it took place very distantly in the past, or set in fantasy.
You've officially played the very best of Final Fantasy if you've touched VI.
And it was fucking good. I didn't like the tutorial, but everything after the tutorial was really good. Then I saw Final Fantasy VII, and I'm like, wow, that's like a 10,000-year time jump. And since then, they've all been following that formula because it made them the most money, instead of doing what they do best, which is fantasy.
Right. Yeah, it's...
Because to my knowledge... Not to interrupt, I'm sorry. But to my knowledge, most of the Final Fantasies before 6 were all very well regarded. And after 7, most of them dip in quality because they're just copying 7.
It depends on who you talk to. Like, the people that really loved the sprite-based RPG elements, basically 6 and prior... They have a way, like, those games looked a certain way, they played a certain way, and they were a certain way. When it went to 7, they wanted to be new, they wanted to be flashy, and they wanted to appeal to more than just the normal RPG market.
Yes.
Even Japan and stuff like that, even their, how should I put it, the way that their games and stuff moved forward, like, it didn't just influence, like, just them, it influences their whole culture. And
it really does.
And that... That forward motion is shown with 7. Mm-hmm. The Dragon Warrior games and stuff like that, they were made by Enix, but Squaresoft and Enix joined right after the PS1 era, PS2. So they could always still kind of stay rooted with that factor in Dragon Quest. So Final Fantasy really didn't need to do that anymore. If you wanted that JRPG feel of old, you could play Dragon Quest. If you wanted to play the new hotness and, you know, kind of like
the in new your face,
the in your face RPG, then you played Final Fantasy.
Then you played GTA San Andreas.
That's exactly right.
But I've been playing the hell out of that recently, by the way. Great game. So you're talking about that, how their markets change, and I think a perfect example of that is Nintendo. Because you got their three... I would say their three main franchises, Mario, Zelda, and Metroid. But people, like, excommunicate Metroid because it only sells in the West. Only in America and Western Europe. Which I find odd. So they don't make Metroids very often. But when they do, they're the top class, man. That shit outranks most of their other good shit.
Even Other M?
Well, and that's...
Well, that was Team Ninja's mess up.
I would say that they have to when they release a Metroid, but that's kind of like in the last 20 years, let's go back 30 years. First party Nintendo games, when they come out, how many of them miss the mark?
Not many.
I mean, it's even the worst, like everyone shits on Mario Sunshine.
I was even going to say Mario 2.
Even Mario 2. Think about Mario 2. Even for a game that wasn't even a Mario game, it's still fucking good. Like, even the worst of Nintendo first-party games is still damn good.
Zelda 2 is another good factor. That game it has a lot of RPG elements inspired by Final Fantasy, but it's still very good. It's playable. I just find it odd, because if you notice, the Zelda games are appealing more and more to us, and less to Japan. not because they sell worse in Japan, but because they're trying to boost their sales here. Twilight Princess was when they're saying, hey, fuck it, we're going to make the ultimate European Zelda game.
Right.
So it combines Western, like, there are bits where you're in a Western town and you have to fight off shit to country Western music. It doesn't get more American than that. You're fighting off bandits with a bow with in the background.
And see, that's why a series like Wild Arms, which originated at PS1.
I vaguely remember that.
Wild Arms was kind of a Western RPG as well. It kind of touched on that as it was a little out there. I never really played them, but Steve did. And I remember looking through the books and stuff like that that he had for him. They're a little out there as well, but they're that Western RPG. I mean,
it's like Cowboy Bebop as a game.
Right. That would make a really good game.
Cowboy Bebop would be the best fucking game.
I would love to find the swordfish.
Not in America.
Probably, yeah. But the swordfish would be a fun thing to fly around in.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I want a minigame where you chain smoke.
Right. And eat instant ramen.
Mm-hmm. You have to chain smoke to the beat of the jazzy saxophone. Mm-hmm. Trigun would be another great fucking game.
I love Trigun. I rewatched it here lately, and it doesn't hold the same appeals it used to, because I've been through it a few times.
Well, it has a weird tone shift.
Yeah.
Some episodes are just the corniest shit, the other episodes are everything is wrong with the universe.
I think for me, it also depends on a level of nostalgia.
That's true. Did you ever watch Trigun, Mark?
I never seen it.
It's Cowboy Bebop on one planet, which is basically Arrakis / Tatooine.
It's more slapstick, but it's neato. It's neato, gang. It's
Firefly, which is also what Cowboy Bebop is.
Kind of, yeah.
They have very similar tones, just Cowboy Bebop's more mature.
Why couldn't they finish? I wish they would have done something more with Firefly.
It was Fox, man.
Yeah. They made a comic, but it didn't.
It's funny you say that, because we were at Barnes & Noble, and I almost bought the comic. It was almost totally worth it.
At least Joss got to finish his story in Serenity. Which is funny, because when that movie came out, I had never seen Firefly. I remember, it was one of those things where I remember the year before, or a couple years before, there was a trailer for Firefly, and I was like, whatever happened to that show? That looks like that show, but I've never seen that show. And then someone's like, oh yeah,
That's like the biggest fucking show ever, and Fox is an asshole for canceling it.
Well, at the time, it still wasn't the biggest.
That's because they aired it out of order, yep, and it didn't make...
That doesn't... Why?
I know.
Why? What? Who is making these calls?
And it's funny...
They need castrated and fucking shot.
Bob Barker style.
God damn.
So, okay, it's not the most linear show. Like, you don't have to have necessarily seen it in order, but it's partially serialized. Character growth is there, and it helps to see it in order. I still think my favorite episode, I hate to say it, is actually the last one, where they're up against that bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm. That's a great episode.
My only disappointment is the fact that Jane just is sleeping the entire episode. The one guy who could fix the whole problem is asleep.
And, yeah, but that's Joss's writing, I love him for it.
It led to the funniest moment of the series for me. So there's this big noise on the ship because the bounty hunter's causing shit. And Jane wakes up, and he pulls down his blanket, and there's guns everywhere, and then he just rolls over.
Yeah, you think he's going to lay down the law, and he just rolls. I had forgotten about that scene.
I couldn't stop laughing when I saw that.
Man, we got to stop, because this will be a Firefly episode, too, if we're not careful.
We need to do a Firefly episode.
Damn, we do need to do a Firefly.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Whatever happened to fucking Alex Baldwin's slightly less popular
brother? I don't know.
Brother? I can't even remember his name.
He's actually not... I remember that family.
Is he not?
No. He just shares the same last name, but he's not any of their brothers.
Good, because he's better than all of them.
I found that out, too, and I was like, what?
He was in Independence Day.
Yep. As a guard.
He was in Predator 2. As the same fucking character.
Oh, yeah. He was, wasn't he?
Yep. He worked for good old Busey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to be a crazy bastard to work with crazy... Gary Busey.
Busey's insane. Oh, my God. That guy is so crazy.
I was watching the behind the scenes on Predator 2, and he's... There's a character, or there's a cast member, the Latina, and they share the same birthday. And he just goes off on this fucking reporter who's doing this documentary, and he's like, I can't do it. But he's like, now right over there is a woman who has the same birthday as me, and that makes her an Aquarius. And because she likes garlic and onions, and that's exactly what the Predator wants, she is the... I can't do it, but that's what he's saying.
Right, right.
And he just fucking goes off making fun of this girl, and she's loving it.
Just some shenanigans.
But damn, Gary Busey. You and Nick Nolte are in runnings.
I love Nick Nolte.
Neither one of them are in Cool Runnings. Why would you say that?
So anyway...
They're in the background somewhere.
Oh, I knew it.
Demon Souls...
Yes.
...is coming to PC. But there was some mixed messaging on that because everyone thought that it was PlayStation exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
But come to find out, it is console exclusive.
Oh, so it's coming to Xbox?
No. It is console Bullshit. Exclusive to PS5.
Okay.
It is coming to PC.
Now, that's a dangerous territory to tread, too, because when Dark Souls... You said Demon Souls, right?
Correct.
When Dark Souls came out for the PC, it was a garbage port. It was buggy and broken, and the game's already unfair as is, mm-hmm. and making it worse is not good.
So...
You're starting to shake over there like...
Not simpatico.
Hogwarts Legacy was another game that they unveiled during this promo, too.
All right.
Put you in a wand and a... trench coat, I guess, and you get to play around in the Harry Potter world.
Which is funny, because J.K. Rowling has fallen way out of favor with the fans for being not transphobic, but somewhat anti-trans.
There's been a lot of fervor about that, and people were kind of, I don't know, slinging some mud at that, too, because it's like, do we really want to give J.K. Rowling our money?
Right, she's already rich as hell.
Well, so at that point, it becomes, there's a phrase they've been throwing around a lot called death of the author. And that's where when someone creates an IP of any kind, you know, book, movie, whatever, once it's out there, it becomes the fans.
Right.
Not
right.
The authors.
I can see that.
That's where headcanon comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
It is your decision where the story goes,
but
whether or not you believe the official.
But Jar Jar Binks, when I made him.
Like, I was going to say.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
Right. It's... It's the next evolution of Star Wars, though.
It's for the kids.
It's for the children. Just for any kid. My kids, he named Jar Jar Binks, and I really like that name.
Well, my kids like poop jokes.
Because it's...
And they're Star Wars.
It's for the children. That's why I had Anakin cut the heads off little Tusken Raider kids.
Yeah.
Because it's for the kids. It's for the children.
He killed the younglings.
It's for the children.
He killed the younglings. He
fucking decapitated them. It was great.
I mean, we didn't see... I cut that scene out, because...
I filmed it, though.
My senior editor said it probably wouldn't fly, but...
I'm George Lucas, bitch. You can't tell me what to do.
He killed younglings. They're dead.
We did get a PG-13 rating, so...
Look, yeah. They cauterize wounds. Lightsabers do. There's no blood.
PG-13's easy to get, because there's definitely no blood.
And how do you think they live in the jars on Futurama? They had to use laser swords to cut their heads off.
And we feed them fish food. They live forever.
Revenge of the Sith. The only movie where you'll see a guy sliding backwards, limbless, into a volcano, burning alive. PG-13, slap it on.
But there was no blood, and no one said, F you.
He said, I hate you. Ooh. That's a bad message.
Ooh. Man, I can't believe someone used
with
such a
word. With fire in his eyes.
Right.
And his back.
And his head.
Yeah.
And just and fire. His torso.
Someone, sorry, Trayton showed it to me yesterday. It was a marshmallow. It was sitting on a stove, and he's like, you're the chosen one, Annie. Blah, blah, blah. You are my brother. And then it cuts to another marshmallow on the stovetop on fire, and he's like, I hate you.
Flames on the side of my face.
On my face. The love clue. That's one of the best lines in the entire movie.
And it was totally improvised.
Because she plays it off like, no, I wasn't mad. And then she's like, oh, no, I was totally mad. But you know how it goes. What else?
Devil May Cry 5. You guys ever played that game?
I never played any of them.
I quite literally played the first one for an hour. And I was like, this is really cool. And never touched another one since.
Well,
it's basically Ninja Gaiden with guns.
And swords.
And, well, a sword.
So, Devil May Cry 5 was on PS5. It's coming to PS5 and was on Xbox One and PS4. But Special Edition is coming to PS5.
Oh, shit. That's going to give a new hair color and a different skin for the sword.
And ray tracing.
Okay.
Day one. It really was a pretty good looking game. Not as good as RE2 Remake, but it was still really good looking.
It was pretty crazy looking.
I cannot wait to see what these new consoles can do.
Could you imagine RE2 in fucking ray tracing? Oh my god.
For $500, you can get one that'll play with disc.
I want to come back to the consoles and we'll come back to that, but go ahead and continue.
So, Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Go on with the Borophil.
They showcased gameplay from it. Looks cool.
Is Carnage in a fucking Spider-Man game for once?
Not yet.
I didn't figure.
He was in Maximum Carnage. He had his 15 seconds of fame.
Yeah, and a red cartridge.
Oh, he was also... That was an awesome-looking cartridge. He was also in... he was the final boss of fucking the Spider-Man PS1 game. He took over Doc Ock, and he chased you for a minute, and then the game was over.
He was also... He wasn't a final boss, but he was in Ultimate Spider-Man on Xbox.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
I just remember you could play as Venom in that game, and it was badass.
Yeah, you... The Ultimates universe is way different.
Dude, I don't think anybody got more character assassination than the Hulk.
Right. Well, in that one, Peter Parker's parents use his DNA to say try to...
10 times fast.
Peter Parker's parents picked a peck of pickup peppers.
Peter Parker's parents use his DNA to create a blah, blah, blah. They used his DNA to try to create and synthesize a cure for cancer, which became the symbiote, which became Venom. And that's why Venom has an affinity for Spider-Man, and that's why he avoids Spider-Man's danger sense, because they shared the same DNA, partially. In that game and in the comics, eventually at one point, Parker becomes Carnage, and then you as Venom have to fight him.
That is awesome. That is fucking awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Anytime Venom and Carnage throw down, it is just a fucking brawl.
And then, I know then they added Toxin.
Hey, Toxin was cool.
And then they added Anti-Venom.
Anti-Venom was not.
And then they had, I'm sure there's
a new one. He has a goofy name, Poison or something.
Yeah. Whatevs.
So, they also announced the PlayStation Plus collection for PS5. Did you hear any of this?
I have not. I'm listening.
Okay, so I guess this is kind of like their answer to the Xbox
Game Pass.
Mm-hmm. From what I can tell, it's for PS5. It's a collection of games that comes with your PlayStation Plus subscription.
Okay.
It didn't say it cost anything extra. In fact, the last I had read anything on it, they were saying no extra cost to you. But the games that are in the service...
Except for the subscription.
Right, well, your normal PlayStation Plus subscription.
Okay, so if you already have a PSN subscription...
Yes, or it's included.
PlayStation Plus.
That's cool.
Okay. All right.
So the games that they included with it were God of War, Bloodborne, Monster Hunter World, Final Fantasy 15, Fallout 4, Mortal Kombat 10, or X, however you want to say that.
X, not 11.
Uncharted 4, Ratchet & Clank, Days Gone, Until Dawn, Detroit Become Human, Battlefield 1, Infamous Second Son, Batman Arkham Knight, The Last Guardian, Last of Us, Persona 5, RE7.
That is a pretty good lineup, all things considered, but there's a couple questionable decisions.
I'm interested in two of those games. The rest of them,
most of those, if you noticed, are PC or PS exclusives.
Right.
So if you already have PlayStation Plus, I can already tell you Uncharted 4, Until Dawn, Detroit Become Human, The Last of Us.
Days Gone.
No. Those are games that were already available for PlayStation Plus.
Oh, okay.
Those were already free games.
Mm-hmm. Well, not free, but...
Well, they were free if you have PlayStation Plus.
It's like Games of Gold on Xbox.
Right. Maybe Bloodborne. I can't remember, but I already own Bloodborne, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it was already on there.
God of War, Bloodborne, and Ratchet and Clank and Days Gone are the four games on this list that I could see make it worth it. But then again, it's worth it because you don't have to pay anything extra anyway.
That is true. But okay, I know I go on and on about being offline and all that, blah, blah, blah. But if they really wanted to cater to the offline crowd, you could... See, I wouldn't mind getting a digital console if I could ask them to put these games on there. Here's my subscription. Here's my proof of it. I'll even pay 20 extra bucks. But put these games on there so when it ships to me, I have them ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
That would be...
It'd be extra work on their part.
Yeah.
But I feel like it could be justified.
Right.
Well, it's a numbers game. It depends on how many people would be interested in that program.
That is true. I hate being a minority.
Yeah, they're not going to go through that much effort for one fucking guy who lives out in the middle of nowhere.
Who's that?
Some guy I know.
So, PlayStation Plus collection definitely isn't Game Pass, but it's a nice start. It's something. It's
something. Some kind of competition,
at least. It's better than nothing, and at no additional cost, that's worth it. I mean, I think that that's actually a pretty decent thing.
Do they have any launch titles?
Yes. Miles Morales is a launch title.
So, okay, that already puts them one tiny step above Microsoft.
Because that's a good character.
I don't really like Miles. I way prefer Peter, but whatever. His suit's cool.
So, that's their big launch title. There are a couple other games that are launching alongside it, too. But that's their big push. So, that's the other kicker. When Sony started this game, they basically said, look, if you want the latest and greatest games, you have to have the latest and greatest console. The only place that you can get these games is on PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, after the conference, after their announcements, Sony tweeted out that Spider-Man Miles Morales, Sackboy, and Horizon Forbidden West will all be available on PS4.
Oh, okay.
And that was kind of the thing, was when this all started, they were kind of trying to throw mud at Microsoft, saying, like, these games were made to perform on the PS5, and they're not meant, you know, for cross-generation and yada, yada, yada. And now they have to put out a tweet and say, but these few games are.
That's almost backhanded. Like, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't know.
I mean, it's good for the consumer because they now, without having to purchase a new console, have access to new games.
My thing is if you're making a game, you want it to be on the most available platform. How on earth do you sell as many PS5s in a launch lineup when you can't make the console or you're not making it available to everybody? How do you sell as many of a game when you have, like, one of the top best-selling consoles right before that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the same question that they had whenever, you know, PS3, and you've got, you know, 110 million or however many millions of PS2s they had sold.
Yep.
Like, you kind of need that. You need that. You need that ability to, even if it only sells half, you still need it to sell on that old console. That's where that money's coming from, to support the development of that game.
Which is funny, because the last game that they ever made for the PS2 was in 2010.
Right.
That console came out fucking 8 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
10 years, maybe even.
Yeah, because I had one in 2001, I think.
Could be.
I could be wrong.
It had to come out in 2000 because the Dreamcast came out in 99.
Keep in mind, that was 20 years ago for me. Well, for everyone, Doug. Because time goes the same. I'm going to shut up now.
We're just having to talk about linear time, Josh.
Sony just needed to not say any. Like, the best defense or offense, I should say, is sometimes nothing. Don't say anything. Don't push it and say, like, well, this is what we're doing. This is how we're pushing the next envelope. You don't have to. Sometimes you feel
they could have just said, like, hey, we're the best.
They could have. And then they could have proved it in the pudding.
That's the thing. Yeah. I agree with you, Mark, to the extent of you have to have something that proves that, even if it's just a tease.
But to later come back and have to
backpedal on stuff?
Backpedal?
That's what I'm saying is that's, I think, where they fucked up.
Right.
Because they had the proof. It was there. Bam, we have something your competitor or our competitor does not. But you don't really have to get our new console for it.
They could have easily done it a couple different ways. And Microsoft has, you know, had their fair share of faux pas this last console generation.
Many, many a faux pas.
And they could just say, looks best on. Looks best on PS5. These games will look the best on PS5. Get the best experience for Sackboy on PS5.
And what I love is that's a totally legal, perfect tactic, because that's a subjective statement.
Right. You'll never see Spider-Man look as good as it does on a PS5. You know what I mean? I mean, there's always those.
It seems like PlayStation's had those kind of comments before on commercials.
They have.
I mean, how hard would it have been to not say the same? You know what I mean?
And what's worse is normally PlayStation's not wrong when they say that. They do usually have the higher power to back it up, especially the PS3. What was it? There was a certain game you had on both consoles, but it was definitely better performing on PS3. I feel like it was an earlier popular game.
It was Halo Reach.
Halo Reach on the PS3. It's my favorite PS3 game.
But that was a lot of the confusion in the messaging. honestly, of the two consoles, PlayStation's message has been probably the most crystal clear. We have two consoles. Both of the consoles perform functionally the same, except one has a disc tray on it, disc-based. The other one is completely digital. Choose that out. But with Xbox, it's, well, do I need the resolution? Do I need the disc drive? Well, if I need the disc drive, then I'm automatically going to get the resolution.
That's the thing. I would like to be able to pick and choose. I want the disc drive with the lower performing console.
And that's ultimately the message. You know, it's harder for people to choose between two Xboxes because there's a $200 price point difference.
Yes.
And one's got 500 gigs, the other one's a terabyte. And we all know
the way games are going, that terabyte's going to go up quick. That, well, 500 gigs is up like that.
You have, does ray tracing even take the kind of memory in a game in the size?
Honestly, I'm not for sure.
Yeah, I don't think we'll know till they come out. Because you can only, PC, you can do all kinds of crazy shit.
Because I've got at least one of my games on there is over 100 gigs on my Xbox external. 100 fucking gigs for like a game and all of its DLCs and everything.
Red Dead Redemption 2, it was 50 gigs at launch, and then it had a 100 gig update. That is 150 gigs.
That might have been what it was, because I got rid of it eventually.
And they just came out with another 50 gig update.
Fuck.
200 gigs for GTA in the Wild West. Is it worth it to you? It's not to me.
So, I mean, the messaging behind the consoles, for me and you, are clear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not me and you that's going to be on the front lines that first day trying to figure out what they want. It's going to be that mom that's looking for Christmas gifts. It's going to be that dad that's trying to figure out, you know, what can I play? You know, what can Timmy and Tommy play on the best experience and not cost me the most?
And what's worse is 9/10 of those people are going to get disappointed. You're either not going to have that console, either it's already going to be sold out, or you're going to be stuck with a lower-end version because the people with money...
Right, well, here's the thing with the Xbox. It's not a lower-end version.
Not necessarily, no.
It's optimized for... Basically, it's optimized for a different television display. Mm-hmm. One will work super amazing on your $3,000 television. The other is going to look just good on your $400. Dollar television. Once again, these are random numbers I've thrown out.
But you're not wrong.
Right, I'm just trying to illustrate price differences between amazing TVs versus your average fucking television.
Versus plasma TVs, yeah.
Well, not even plasma. They don't.
The
look on your face when he fucking said that was just, you were like, watch this, I'm gonna fuck with him.
And you're like, no, Forrest, I won't let you fuck with
him. For 8 years.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, most people that end up with an Xbox Series S, it still does. It will up convert to 4K, but it does 1440 native. It will do ray tracing. It does the fast load. It still has the solid state drive in it. Granted, it's not a terabyte. Granted, it's not true 4K. So you have to take that with, is true 4K, is an extra 500 gig worth $200?
My whole thing in that really thinking about it, Sony, I think, did make a smart move because, like I said last time, I believe the Series S is going to appeal to the non-gamer more because that's the
average player.
Not even just the average
player. The recreational player. How about that? Someone who's not...
Well, even people who don't play games. Like, this is your streaming device and it's way cheaper than the hardcore gamers market.
Right, but I mean, at that point, I mean, both of my Xbox 360 and my Xbox One will stream.
Mm-hmm. And so will a $30 Roku device.
Right. It really will. I just feel like that may be an attempt. The lower price point, I think, is the attempt to appeal to more...
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. They are planning on selling more S's than they are X's.
And I think that may be where Sony... maybe has a good idea, because if they raise the price of their smaller digital console, even though it does the same stuff, people are going to look at that and be like, well, there's a $200 price difference between the Xboxes. There's only a $100 difference. I might as well get the better version.
Right. They're not going to compare Xbox versus PlayStation. They're going to compare the two consoles.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, if they're looking at a PlayStation, they're just going to say, fuck it, it's just another $100 and dish out that extra $100.
Right. But then Xbox is planning on people to see that $300 price tag for the new and improved Xbox and say, so basically what we have is two different marketing strategies.
And I think they're both very valid.
PlayStation has always tried to sell themselves as being the premium or premier system.
Yes.
They say, yes, we are a little bit more expensive. Guess what? You're getting your bang for your buck.
We're worth it.
We are worth it. And then Xbox is like, yeah, our shit's good, but it's cheaper, huh?
Yeah, it's like, we have something that'll do the same thing, but if you can't afford that, we do have this, you know, have this smaller plan.
I could see where it would almost feel like it's pandering, like you're saying, price pandering.
That's what it feels like to me. But I think those are both good ideas.
Right. Well, I mean, it is price pandering. It's like, look, brand new Xbox, ray tracing, best possible fucking shit we've ever fucking built, 300 fucking smackaroons.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it to you this way. I'm considering getting the S over an X.
And that's a very valid choice.
If I want an X. Mm-hmm. I want the best. If I'm going to shell out that cash for a game system that I'm going to play for the next 10 years, I'm going to want the fucking best one. But for me to get the best bang for my buck out of the X, I'm going to have to buy another TV. And I'm looking at $1,000 for a TV. For one, you know what I mean? I'm looking at $900, $950, $1,000. But if I'm going to buy a new TV, I want a TV that's going to be the best I get for bang for my buck for the next 10 fucking years. So I'm not going to settle for a $900 Vizio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to go for something that's $1,000, $1,500. I'm going to go for something that's going to rock my fucking world with my new fucking game system.
All I have to say is make sure it's lightsaber proof.
No shit. That TV's still in the shed, by the way. Is it? I'll never fix it.
It doesn't need fixed. Doesn't deserve it. It hasn't fucking earned it.
It's just the glass broken. And actually, last time I price checked it, that glass was $500, but that was like 6 years ago.
Whole TV's $500. Goddamn.
No, the TV was $1,000.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you ruined a $1,000 TV.
So
no, Darth Vader's lightsaber ruined $1,000.
Did a damn good job on it, too.
You also have to think, too, like, these two consoles are going knuckle to knuckle right now. And it always kind of makes me wonder, like, how in the fuck do we always end up getting two damn consoles fighting at the same time?
It's the same two motherfuckers, and they're pretty always much duking it out on the internet.
I love it. It used to be Sony and Nintendo, but Nintendo's like, you know what? We're going to backpedal. We're going to pander to the casual players.
But Nintendo still sells like hotcakes.
Because they pander to the casual players.
Right.
Well, and not only that, but my generation and the generation before that, that's a name we know.
Right.
And that's trust. That's the important thing, is that we trust it.
Even the Nintendo 64, you can say a lot of bad things about the way the games look, the way the games play, and even the controller that looks like it's a
fucking flail from medieval Europe.
Yes. Like, they have a level of commitment to their quality of product. Like, your Nintendo 64 still works. Your Super Nintendo still works. My GameCube, all three of them, all load up, all boot fine. Wii U, all those consoles have been solid.
I've got two Dell laptops in there in a drawer that may fire up if I'm lucky.
If they feel like it and you roll a random number generator, right?
And I had them near as long as any other game console.
And you can say what you want about the Nintendo 64. It makes one damn good paperweight. I'm just saying, that thing is solid.
If we could have got the DD drive for it, then it would be one hell of a paperweight.
But
one hell of a toilet.
And it's easy for a parent to see a consumer electronic the same way that they see the TV, the washer and dryer in their home. Mm-hmm. They can see that as, well, this one makes good products. This one ain't going to give out in a year. We'll buy this one for Timmy.
Exactly.
And now, I can understand it. Or Sally likes Mario. She can play Kirby. She'll like that.
Yeah. I can't get over the $299 price tag.
Here's the thing. I think I finally figured out what I was trying to say about Xbox. So this is how it feels to me the main scenario is going to be. It's Christmas. The parents are going to get their kid the $400 or the $500 PlayStation because that is the best option for them. But their grandparents, who they visit every summer and spend a whole week with, are going to get the $299 digital Xbox. Put a couple games on it, and that'll keep them happy for the summer.
Well, the S has a disc drive, right?
No.
Oh!
That's my problem because I want the S.
Okay. I don't know why, but I thought the S had a disc drive.
It is all digital.
Okay.
That's how it's so slim, is they shucked the drive out of it.
They were like, fuck it, we don't need it.
Microsoft is banking on their lower-end console selling more. Sony is banking on their higher-end console selling more.
I don't know about that.
That's what I was saying about the price difference. It's only $100 more. You might as well just go for that.
I mean, I see your point, but once again, that's your viewpoint.
It is. It is.
With someone with limited budget, they're going to be looking at final cost. Mm-hmm. And they know that their kid wants a new PlayStation. They want a new Xbox.
And honestly, the way that the games are going now, digital is the way that it's going to be. I mean, sticking a disc in, you know, you do have people that still collect and that still want that physical media, Steve included. Steve always will get the physical media if he's going to get one or the other. But at the same time, if you look at the way that the PlayStation was designed, and we'd all made this correlation too, the symmetry for the PS5 did not include that disc drive.
Yes, I remember noticing that.
Like, it doesn't have, like, a bump on both sides. It has a bump on one side. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that the disk drive was kind of, not necessarily maybe an afterthought, but the functionality or the formality of that console did not really look like the PS5 disk tray belonged on there, the disk drive.
Yeah, it's like the disk drive wasn't necessarily a priority.
Exactly.
Which, once again, it all comes down to what happens when the power goes out. Will it still play anything?
So, on the Series X, would I be able to select... Once again, I'm sure we don't really know. In the settings, can I select a 1080p display? Yes.
I would assume so, yeah. Because not everybody has, like, high-end internet, and you can't have a 60-frame YouTube all the time.
You could still go down to, I know, 720p, but I bet you could do 480p on Xboxes. In fact, I know that they have a lower resolution because when you do a factory reset on like my Series X or Series
Xbox
X,
One? Yeah.
Xbox One X, see, the confusion starts here.
Well, they suck at naming.
Yes, they do.
From now on, the new one will be the Sexbox.
And her name is Sony.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? Never mind. Damn, I'm not original at all.
It's really up to personal preference. Do you want a disk drive with your Xbox? You're going to have to pay an extra $200.
It almost is like that. It's like a branching path. Do you want Sony or Microsoft? Microsoft. Do you want a disc or no disc? No disc. You know, it's like a branching tree there.
There was a movie in the 80s, and this... Damn, I wish I could remember this movie, the name of it. This kid wants a Lamborghini real bad. So he goes into the dealership, and I can't remember... Once again, I'm only remember certain parts of this movie... Frames. He goes in there and they sit you down in this luxury chair and you just have to, if you want the option for the car, you just click the button. You click the button and he's got this sexy girl sitting on his lap and she's telling him how much she loves that option and he's like, yes, yes. And he's clicking all these options, right?
I love it.
He gets the car. Damn thing doesn't make it down the road before the transmission falls out of it or it breaks down or something. So he wants revenge and he wants to get his money back. Or once again, I'm missing a lot of things in this movie. There's a lot of holes. So I remember they sneak in there through the ceiling and dogs come up. And the guy taught him to put peanut butter in hamburger and drop it for the dogs. So the dogs eat the peanut butter hamburger balls and then they're like... So they... drop the ropes and walk right past the dogs because the dogs are too busy trying to get peanut butter out of their mouth and they steal a bunch of Lamborghinis or something. That's all I remember about the movie, but it just reminded me of the options. He's sitting in the car and she's like, ooh, I really love leather interior. And he's like, yes, yes, yes. And he's just clicking this button as fast as the options come up, you know?
It's funny, that reminds me of Futurama. They're in the fucking theater and it's like, hey, it's an interactive movie.
Oh, yeah.
Press one or two. I pressed two. I'm pretty sure you pressed one.
You've selected number one. No, I didn't. I'm almost positive you did. But, I mean, it's just, it's like the public, like, well, we want options, but then you give them four options, and like, this is too many options.
God damn, why don't you streamline this shit?
We'll never be satisfied, and never, never as a people will be happy.
Not as a people, but I'm pretty easy to please.
That's obvious by your shirt.
Because it's Walmart, isn't it?
Because it's flannel. I love flannel. I hate you.
So, there you have it. PlayStation 5, $399 for a digital. $499 if you want a disc.
And you know what's worse is I still haven't made up my mind on what I want.
Me either. I mean, I'll be going for Xbox. So really, I just need to decide what Xbox I want.
I still don't know. Once again, I have to know how they work offline. Obviously.
Yes. Yes, I've discussed that before, because if there's no internet and that thing becomes a paperweight, I'll probably put it up on the YouTube channel, me smashing it with a fucking hammer. Hi, everybody. I just wasted $300 or $500 on an Xbox.
Correction, $510. You had to pay for the sledgehammer.
I have a sledge.
Do you?
Hello. I'm a forklift mechanic. A lot of things I need a sledge for.
Whale biologist.
Whatever. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Good call. Podcast at GamerDA.com is where you can email us.
And yell at us, preferably, with, like, all caps.
Yes, I love that.
Use cap locks. We love that.
Twitter at GamerDA1.
Facebook at Gamer Discretion Advised.
Who the fuck said I was done?
Biatches!
We have business cards and magnets, and it's fucking awesome.
And
a podcast.
A podcast. And a website.
That's not secondary.
GamerDA.com. Come join us on there. If you have anything that you want us to add to this conversation, message us. Let us know. Find us. We're online.
And we'll love you forever if you say, talk about old anime and sci-fi.
Yep. We'll get you covered. Thanks.